In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos aneste. It's the same message today in the Gospel as it was last week. The same basic message. Of course, there's a lot of different things, different theology. You could talk about this Gospel and the resurrectional Gospels for a long time and not completely understand them. But there's one basic message here, the same as it was for Thomas. What was the most important thing Thomas did? It was last week now. You've had a lot of meals and slept a lot since then, but you should remember. What was the most important thing Thomas did? He stuck around. He stuck around. Did he believe? When he stuck around? Not really, kind of, sort of, right? Because he said, I will not believe until I see the holes in his hands and the hole in his side. I don't remember how it goes now. And then, but he said he would stick his hand into his side, right? Or else he wouldn't believe. But he still stuck around. And I asked you before, why did he stick around? And there were some good answers, but those answers all come from love. He loved his Lord. And even though he thought his Lord was dead, he had to stick around. He had to do it. Nobody told him to do it. He had to do it. That's the same thing happening here. The myrrh-bearing women are going on an errand that makes no sense whatsoever in retrospect. They were going to anoint a dead man. There was no dead man in the tomb. Our Lord had already risen from the grave, having visited Hades while he was resting in the tomb. But they didn't know that. They thought he was a dead man. They had thought he was the Messiah. And they loved him more than air. They loved him more than anything. And he died. But they went to the tomb. And the same reason as Thomas sticking around is the reason why they went to the tomb. Because of love. Love doesn't always think rationally. Now, I'm not talking about all the stupid songs that we shouldn't even listen to about how love makes you think crazy and everything. I'm not talking about that. That's just a kind of insanity that the world tends to try to push on you, which is really more infatuation and lust. I'm talking about love must do something, always. In fact, if you don't feel motivated from internally to do something, you don't love. Just recently talking to somebody, and I've used this example before, and my wife makes fun of me because once I think of something, I use it about 18 times that week. And so here's one of those 18 times. When a mother hears her child cry at 3 in the morning, and she's tired, she's had hardly any sleep, and she's cranky, what does she do? She gets up to take care of her child, to cuddle her child, to change, clean, to breastfeed her child, because she loves. It's because of who she is, not because of what she's told to do. Nobody says, you got to go get your child. Well, maybe the husband does if he doesn't want to get up, but that's a different matter. But internally, she's going to take care of her child. Whether she can get her husband out of bed to get her or not, she's going to do it. Because that's who she is. We do things because of who we are, not because of what we expect we're supposed to do. Well, that's what we should be. That's the Christian life. It's not the life of many people. Many times, people do things because they feel obligated to do it. There's a very good sermon by a Hiram monk in Manathos, or a writing. It's very deep stuff. And I can't really remember his name right now. It's a very kind of an uncommon name. And he said, there is no must in the Christian life. There's no must. There's not, you must do this, you must do that. You must say those prayers. You must talk to this person in a certain way. It should be internal motivation because you're a Christian, because you love. Just as a mother gets up to take care of her child because of love, not because of some rule, so we should be. And the myrrh-bearing women are showing this love right now. That's the major message here. I'm going to skip over all the other theology, because this is what's most important. They went to anoint a dead man. An impossible task, not only because he wasn't dead, although they didn't know it, but because there was a guard in front of the tomb, and they would have killed him if they came up to try to get the tomb open. There was a huge stone in front of the tomb that they didn't have the strength to move away. And besides, even if they did, that would mean they would bring a group of men there with a fulcrum, and that would have been seen as a hostile act, and the guard would have attacked them. This is an impossible task. And yet they did it, or they went to try to do it. And the reason they did is because they had to. Nobody told them to do it. No apostle said, you know, the Lord wasn't fully anointed. We have to do that to honor him. Nobody said that. Joseph and Nicodemus didn't say, well, we're able to partially prepare the body. Would you go finish it on Sunday or after the Sabbath? Nobody told them. They did this on their own because of love. It wasn't really a very sensible errand. Just like what Thomas said was not very sensible. But they did what they did. Thomas sticking around and the myrrh-bearing women going to the tomb to anoint what they thought was a dead man because of love and because they had to. You must in your life have many things that you feel compelled to do. Not from anybody compelling you. Not from any external force. Not even from God. It has to be from your heart. Your heart has to tell you, I must do this. Maybe sometimes your heart is not completely accurate, like the myrrh-bearing women's hearts were not. Maybe you're going to go do something that really doesn't need doing. Maybe you're going to do something that morphs into something else. That happens in my ministry all the time. I go to do something, turns out to be something else. But you must, as a Christian, feel compelled from within to do something many times a day. You should feel this all the time. I'll give an example. This happens to me all the time. And that is, you meet someone and it's tragic about their life, what they're going through or what they're experiencing or how destructive they've been to their own life. And you talk to them for a while. I feel compelled to pray for them. Do you? People that you meet, there's so much incredible tragedy all around us. Have you ever thought, when you go into Walmart or when you're driving on 75, that every single person passing you is in crisis? You're probably not far off if you think that. Almost everybody's in crisis. Almost everybody's got hard things going on. Does your heart go out to them? I tell you all the time as a pastor, I'm always getting on everybody. Do you pray for others? And a lot of you don't. You must feel that compulsion. It can't come from me. I mean, I'll remind you 1,000 times, and 1,000 times you'll forget. Until your heart tells me, I gotta do it. I must do it. I can't be a human being without doing this. I'm not true to myself unless I pray for those I love, for those that I encounter, for those I have conflicts with. It has to come from your heart. Now, I'll keep telling you over and over again, because it's absolutely critical to your salvation that you look outside yourself and pray for those that you encounter. But you won't do it until your heart says, I gotta do it. It's that way with everything. Your heart must be telling you, I gotta do this. You must be cultivating that in your life. And if your heart is open to God, even though it has sins in it, because all of us are sinners, all of us have passions, darkness, and we do stupid things. But if your heart is open, God, even with a heart that is not completely purified, will speak to it. And you'll say, you got to do this. And it won't be as if it's an external order from God. It will be your heart saying, yes, I do. I got to do this. That's the way the myrrh-bearing women were, and that's the way we must be. That's the whole story. That's the story of St. Thomas. That's the story of the myrrh-bearing women. Later on, as we go through the readings for the Paschal cycle, it's really the story, you can find it in other people too. When the blind man was healed, when he realized, after he was grilled by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, that this was God who healed him, he had to rebuke those rulers, and they threw him out. That's when he was truly healed, when he did what he had to do. Nobody told him to do it. Jesus didn't put any kind of restriction on the healing. He did it because his heart told him he had to do it. Christianity is lived in the heart, no place else. Only in the heart. You must cultivate your heart. That's why I tell you to do things, you know, all that practical stuff. Like fasting, like reading the scriptures, especially the gospels, like coming to the services. All that stuff is very critical. But it's in the context that you feel you've got to do it. If you do it because I tell you to, well, maybe you'll find some enlightenment. If you do it because your spouse expects you to, or your mother expects you to, or maybe you think I expect you to, well, you get limited benefit. Where you get the greatest benefit is when you do something because you just gotta do it, because your heart tells you to do it. That's the story today. I hope you find things in your life constantly that you just gotta do. You might be right, you might be wrong. You might not have made the right judgment all the time. But as a Christian, you must feel compelled from within to live a certain way. Just as the myrrh-bearing women were compelled from within to go and anoint our Lord Jesus Christ, who was already risen from the dead. Now, if we do that, if we do these kinds of things, like the myrrh-bearing women did, like Thomas did, whether we're right or wrong, it always turns out that the Lord gives you grace. Whether you make a mistake or not, even sometimes whether there's sin involved or not, He gives you grace if you do things because your heart tells you got to do it. Of course, you got to have a good heart now. You got to have a heart that's not filled with all kinds of garbage. A heart that knows more about a serial television show than it knows about the Gospel of Matthew. If your heart doesn't know, then how do you know that your heart telling you to do something is right? That's a big conundrum. That's why we come to the church. That's why we pray. That's why we repent. That's why we come to confession. That's why we fast. That's why we read the gospel. Because we're begging the Lord to fill our heart with those things that are good. Not because we think, oh, if we don't do stuff, we'll go to hell. No, that's a compulsion. The compelling that I'm talking about is nobody telling you to do nothing. And no sword of Damocles over your head if you don't do it. It's inside you, you gotta do it. That's what a Christian is. I am a priest because I had to do it. I wish I did it better. I try to do it better. But I can't be anything but a priest. It's not possible for me. Because I just had to do it. I didn't know it until I was asked. But now it's impossible for me not to be a priest. I have to be a Christian because it's life. It's impossible for me not to be a Christian. God granting it that my sins don't ever cause me to fall away. It should be like that for you too. It should be impossible for you to do some things because it just is not you. And you should do some things because it's within you. That's who you are. So stop doing things because you think you're supposed to. Do things because of who you are. And if you don't know who you are, then find out. You find out by praying, by coming to the services, and all those sorts of things that are practical. But you do it with your heart. If you do it with your heart, God will enlighten you. Christ is risen.
He truly is risen.